You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Gym Class here in KGYM at 4 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Great to have you aboard. Scott Unash. I'll be joined by Mark Dukes coming up here in just a couple of moments. Ben on the other side of the glass once again here today. Good show for you. We're going to talk college hoops. Kevin Lehman, the coach, will join us at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a peek ahead to Iowa and Indiana coming up tonight. We'll look back at Iowa State and Kansas, talk about the red-hot UNI Panthers, Drake with a win last night as well. So lots of things to talk about as far as the college basketball world is concerned. You can join us as well on the text line. Your input is welcome, as always. We do appreciate you listening. We do appreciate you chiming in with us. 319-366-1600. That is the text line, 319-366-1600. That is our phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and dial us up, that is 319-366-1600. As we get ready for Iowa, Indiana coming up this evening, we've got NBA basketball coming your way tonight for you right here on KGYM, all of our frequencies coming up tonight, and it will be an 8:30 pregame, a little bit later start for a little West Coast NBA basketball coming up tonight, as we will have Portland at Denver coming up for you tonight. Blazers under 500, Denver just over the 500 mark, and again, that comes up for you tonight beginning at 8:30. Right here on KGYM. Again, 319-366-1600. If you'd like to reach out and join us here today on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM at Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio mobile app, stream, and your smart speaker as well. Here's the Midwest, Mark. 44 degrees sunshine right now, and we're expecting 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow. Good afternoon.
Yeah, depending on where you live. Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And some games in the high school front have been moved up to tonight instead of Friday, mainly in central Iowa, where the band, it looks like it's going to be a little deeper in terms of snow than in eastern Iowa. But I still hope Spencer and Ben are tracking this thing, Scott.
Ben, tracking it? Yeah, he says, yeah, I'm tracking it. Yeah, all right. We got our best people on it right now. So,
okay.
Yeah, all staff right. Meteorologists are on the scene taking care of things as we speak here. So, yeah, you know, I'm batting down things, whatever you got to do. I have found the bottom of my driveway. A lot of other people have now as well after the snow and freezing rain of the last couple weeks anyway. So, nice to see that before it gets covered by snow again, but as long as the snowblower keeps starting, we're going to be in good shape out there. So best of luck to everybody as we make it through the next, 36 to 48 hours anyway. Snow expected to start sometime late tomorrow morning, go through the afternoon into the evening, and then taper off as we go through the night from Friday into Saturday. I'm sure there will be some announcements as far as not only schools but also activities coming up tomorrow, so you want to pay attention to that coming up in the morning. Going to talk to Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit. Let's start things off, though, with college basketball as Iowa and Indiana get ready to take to the court tonight, Mark, at Carver Hawkeye Arena, 8 o'clock start. FS1 will have the broadcast for you coming up this evening. Iowa's first game in a week. Iowa 1-3 in the Big Ten, needing a win in the worst way, as Iowa will try to get it. And I'm looking forward tonight to seeing if there are going to be any changes out there. After the loss at Wisconsin a week ago tonight, yesterday, or I should say last Friday's program, had a lot of input on suggestions, if you will, about what Iowa could do in this week off to get ready to improve themselves. Obviously, Rebounding is first and foremost. They are last in the Big Ten right now as far as rebound margin is concerned. Got to get better at that. Got to maybe send five guys to the boards. We'll see how that plays out. Fran McCaffrey this week in his news conference talked about the defense is not quite as consistent as he would like to see it. We'll see if that develops tonight. Also, we will see my suggestion. I thought we should see more Josh Ogundele in the post to help out Rabracha in there. We'll see if that plays out coming up this evening. I think a lot of questions against a pretty good Indiana team, but an Indiana team, Mark, that is yet to win on the road this year. They are 0-3 so far. All have been close losses, but Indiana has not won a road game yet this year.
Very true. 0-3 and 11-0 at home. Indiana sits behind four teams, Michigan State, Illinois, Wisconsin, and Ohio State at 3-2 in the league. And by the way, Wisconsin, Ohio State square off tonight. Should be an excellent game that will precede the Iowa-Indiana game on a different channel. But yeah, Iowa 1-3, you would think, really needs a victory here if it has any aspirations of finishing in the upper division of the Big Ten. We say every game day it's a big game. It is, once again.
It is, and another big for Iowa to worry about. This one a little bit different than, obviously, Kofi Coburn. Kofi Coburn is just an absolute beast of a specimen out there. Hunter Dickinson also is a guy that just basically pounds you down on the block. Trace Jackson Davis is a different cat altogether. He can take you off the dribble. Yeah, he's got the height to take you down on the block, but he can step out. He can hit the mid-range shot a little bit. He can run the court also better than Coburn and Dickinson. A tougher matchup indeed. And like I said, I'm going to be very interested to see if Ogundele is going to play a little bit more coming up this evening, how Iowa's going to try to you're not going to be able to stop Trace Jackson Davis. You're just not going to be able to stop him. He's averaging over 19 a game, almost a double-double. Blocks, three shots a game or something like that. He's good. He's amazing in there. We're going to see how Iowa's going to have to stop or at least contain him a little bit. I'm not going to say stop him.
Jackson Davis 3-0 in his career against Iowa and has been marvelous in each game. Race Thompson is a nice player.
Yep.
A forward averaging in double figures. Xavier Johnson, a solid guard, averaging about 10 points a game. Miller Kopp has been around as long as Brad Davison, I think.
So is Rob Finnessy.
And Rob Finnessy as well. But this could be an interesting game, a very interesting game. I don't know who's favored. It doesn't matter to me. We picked it on the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6, and that is our last piece to determine whether Scott, you, or Dave is the winner. We'll have another round of picks, an all super wild card version on tomorrow's Pick 6.
Yeah, looking forward to that. So we'll announce our winner coming up tomorrow, and we'll also have that for you on Friday. And we'll also talk about tonight's game between Iowa and Indiana more in depth after the Hoosiers and the Hawkeyes meet up coming up here tonight. Should be, I think, a high scoring game this evening. Iowa, mid-80s, Indiana, mid-70s as far as points are concerned. So I don't expect anything in the 50s, or I don't think we're going to have to worry about the shot clock or anything coming up tonight. So it should be a lot of fun for an 8 o'clock start at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And I know our friend Michael Oss wrote a very nice piece in the Gazette today. You can find it at GazetteOnline.com or at Halas on his Twitter account about 8 o'clock starts and how they are kind of the bane of the basketball world, especially in Iowa City. But it is another 8 o'clock start tonight, Mark. It is not a Monday night after a holiday weekend. I anticipate there will be more people, especially after a nice low 40s degree day in eastern Iowa. But the crowd needs to step out tonight, and people need to show up at Carver Hawkeye Arena.
Yeah, and these time slots are not going to change.
No.
And you can debate whether a 6 o'clock or an 8 o'clock start is more favorable if you're a fan. Fran McCaffrey mentioned it in his news conference yesterday. He said, if you're an Iowa basketball fan coming from Des Moines for an 8 o'clock start, that's just not very good. You're not going to get back before midnight. I think you told me last week, Scott, you live in the northern part of Cedar Rapids, and you got back at 11 o'clock the last 8 o'clock game. And tack a couple hours onto that, if you're in Des Moines, you're going to think twice about coming over.
It's not going to change, though. It is not going to change. And pretty much the weekday 7 o'clock starts are going to be as rare as 1 o'clock football starts on a Saturday in college football now. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not wrong at all, at least at this point in terms of television contracts. I would like to see more Saturday and Sunday games in the Big Ten. I know Iowa has a Saturday game against Penn State coming up, but I think it's the only one. At least at home, I'd like to see more weekend games on Saturday and Sunday. But yeah, you're right. We're not going to do anything about the 6 and 8 o'clock games. 7 o'clock windows are going the way of the 1 o'clock football starts.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. If you'd like to comment about Iowa, Indiana, about being there for an 8 o'clock game at Carver Hawkeye Arena. Love to hear from you out there about that. And the television contracts dictate everything. And as far as the Big Ten's got a terrific television contract with ESPN, with the Fox networks, also, of course, the Big Ten Network. And you're going to have, more often than not, used to be in the old days, Mark. Sit back, kids. We'll tell you how the old days used to be. Mark and I remember the days of 10 teams and traveling partners, Mark. You played basically Thursday and Sunday. Occasionally, you had a Sunday game if CBS picked you up with a Sunday game. But you always had a Saturday game. That's not the case anymore because the Big Ten Network wants programming. They need programming out there. They're going to have no more than three games on a given day, basically, anymore. And, I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. FS, the Fox networks also cover the Big East. So they're not going to be able to show exclusively Big Ten. I mean, it's going to be that way, I think, for the rest of time, basically.
So what do you do if you're a fan? 319-366-1600. You just suck it up on an 8 o'clock start. Realize you're going to get back at between 11 and 1 o'clock, depending on where you live. There's also the matter of taking your kids to school night, you know. Well, wait. Tomorrow will be a late start with the snow and everything, right?
If a day of school.
But you get my point. And what do?
Yeah, I don't think there's really a great solution to it. There's going to be more attendance for Big Ten games, no doubt about that. It was interesting. Mike pointed out right now I was averaging announced attendance at just over 10,000, which is, I think, either the lowest or the second lowest in the history of Carver Hawkeye Arena since it opened back in the early 80s. So, and obviously, the more winning you do, the more people are going to come and fill the seats. There's no doubt about it. But you're coming off a season where you had the player of the year, Luke Garza. You had two NBA players on the Hawkeye team, Wieskamp and Garza. Iowa basketball, not a whole lot higher as far as their stock is concerned than right now. And still, 5,000 empty seats or so each night, depending on, you know, no matter who it is that is occupying the visitor's bench.
Well, Iowa plays an exciting brand of basketball more times than not The record may not indicate so in the Big Ten at 1-3. I think another key is students. Make it more attractive for students to get some courtside seats. And I know. Make it more attractive for students to come and cause some commotion.
There's no place in the Big Ten that has a worse student area than than Iowa. And that is a absolute given out there. Michigan rings the court with their student sections on the bottom. The I-Zone for Michigan State, the paint crew, occupies an entire lower part of the bowl behind one basket, the opposition basket at Mackey Arena. I mean, just name a place.
Michigan State.
Iowa's got a skinny behind the opposition basket going up that is half full usually. That's kind of the way it is. 12:38 on the text line. Go to the game. Go to bed an hour earlier the next night. 69:36. In my mind, Carver is just a bad arena. There are drawbacks to Carver Hawkeye Arena. There are a lot worse places. It's a very nice building, no doubt. The acoustics, it was made for concerts. There aren't many concerts in there anymore. Parking is difficult as far as CHA is concerned. It's not great as far as folks, as handicapped folks out there, people with disabilities. It is what it is. I mean, it's not going to change for a long, long time. Carver, even though it was, it's almost 40 years old, Mark. Wow. <Yeah. laughs> But it's not going to. Iowa's not building a new basketball arena anytime soon.
Purchased some property at the Ped Mall. It was reported today. But, Carver Hawkeye Arena was largely patterned after Mackey Arena in West Lafayette. And I would submit it's not so much the arena. It's the fans. I covered many games in Carver Hawkeye Arena and Tom Davis's tenure and George Raveling's tenure when you had Marble and Horton and BJ and some terrific teams. That place got loud.
Yes, it did.
It was a big-time home court advantage. But it always has been, in my mind, it has been a reactive crowd rather than a proactive crowd. Now, you're season ticket holder, Scott, you can maybe disagree with me if you want, but I've always considered the Iowa fan base to be reactive instead of proactive, unlike other places.
For the most part, yes. I think that's probably 30-70 to it. But no matter if it is a team that is going to the Final Four or a team that may win four games a year, bottom line is you still have a percentage of the fan base with the under four timeout, grabs their belongings, and heads up the aisles. And usually they are folks that have very good seats at Carver Hawkeye Arena. And that's not going to change.
No, it isn't. And I'm sorry, I just got a text I was reading on my personal account. I'm going to my first 8 o'clock game tonight. Might need a nap.
64:29 agreeing with you. When Carver is full and the fans are engaged, that place can rock. As a student, we tried to get the others engaged. Just need more students to get back to basketball as well. Kind of blows my mind still that students just don't go to basketball games much anymore. You don't go and watch it on TV from the comforts of my couch, says 69:36. That's another problem, obviously. Yes, CHA also modeled after the Pit at New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting that one particular coach has occupied the the coaching seat in both of those. 319-366-1600. We'll talk more about Iowa, Indiana, and a little bit more about this subject with Mr. Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit. Yeah, and 6936 lets us know that it's not only Iowa's problem. I mean, you and I, that was not a good crowd the other night for the UNI comeback win against Indiana State, and they're having trouble getting students to go to the McLeod Center. And UNI has been obviously winning in the Mo Valley for quite a while anyway. And no, 0945, nothing. There is nothing like the old field house as far as noise level is concerned. That was a pit, but it was Iowa's pit.
The metal bleachers, and depending on where your seat is, looking around and pillars, but it was Iowa's home court, and it could get very loud in there. The smell of popcorn. Hell, you could smoke in there at one time. That was disgusting. But at any rate, we evolve, and we are now 2022, and 8 o'clock start tonight. We'll see what happens.
We're going to talk to Kevin Lehman coming up here in just a little bit. More on Iowa-Indiana coming up at that time. Also, more on Iowa-Indiana coming up with Todd and Alex. They'll be next from 4 until 6 o'clock with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. And don't forget, the 5 o'clock hour is Drive Time. It is driven by Linder Tire Service with three locations in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. And follow Linder Tire Service on Facebook for updated hours and more information. All right, we're going to have Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you as well. Boys did well last night. We'll just give you a little bit of a hint right there. I'm going to throw it to you, Mark, for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're right across from the Lindale Mall on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Another Iowa State basketball player headed for the NBA, apparently. Guard Lindell Wigginton has signed a two-way deal with the Milwaukee Bucks, putting him on the verge of making an NBA debut. The Grinnell School Board approved today the school moving to the WAMAC Conference for the 2023-2024 school year. Charlie Jones, the latest on the list of Iowa Hawkeyes, to announce he is returning to play another season. He joins Sam Laporta, Riley Moss, a couple quarterbacks, Jack Campbell, among others, in making that announcement. And there's just one big piece left out there. Tyler Linderbaum, center.
Yeah, I would not hold my breath on that one as far as Linderbaum coming back. Has not come out and said that he's going to for sure go to the pros, but with all his draft prospects out there, I mean, yeah. I don't think.
I'm surprised he hasn't up till now, though.
That is true. Maybe he's still under consideration. I'm not going to speak for him, certainly. We'll find out soon enough, no doubt about that. Zach Johnson getting set to tee off, by the way, in the next hour at Wailea in the first round of the Sony Open. We do have primetime golf coming up this evening. We got a two-way tie at the top right now. Tyler Duncan and Kevin Chappell, I believe, are sharing the lead right now at 6 under par at beautiful Wailea. I don't even know if it's beautiful, Mark. I'm just taking a guess that it's beautiful weather in Honolulu at this point.
Looks beautiful, doesn't it? Zach teeing off at 4:40 Central Time. He'll have a much earlier tee time tomorrow.
True. All right, we're going to take a break, come back, and we are going to talk to the coach, Kevin Lehman. It's our Off the Glass segment. We'll talk some college basketball with Kevin right after this weather update and a break. More of the Gym Class coming your way right here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we'll have a mix of sun and clouds for this afternoon. Temperatures still going to be in the mid-30s and above the freezing mark. Later on tonight, we'll have cloudy skies. Temperatures drop down into the mid-20s. As we head into tomorrow to start the day, we're going to have cloudy skies and dry conditions. Snow starts to move in during the late morning hours from west to east, and we'll have moderate to heavy snow through the afternoon, leading to tough travel conditions for the evening commute. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Enjoy football, basketball, and all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using bonus code Hanson, H-A-N-S-O-N, and your first wager is risk-free up to $1,000. BetMGM offers parlay specials and boosted odds every day. Plus, you'll earn M Life rewards that you can use at any MGM resort nationwide. Turn loyalty points into comps for room nights, restaurants, and more. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and enter bonus code, let me spell it again, Hanson, H-A-N-S-O-N, and place your first wager risk-free up to $1,000. Now you're winning with the king of sportsbooks. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager, Iowa only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
The worst of times can bring out the best in each of us. Doctors, nurses, and frontline workers have labored selflessly to keep us safe during the health crisis of our lifetime. How do we thank these heroes? It's simple. Get your COVID vaccine so we can end this pandemic. Variants are on the rise, and we don't want to put these heroes through another health crisis. They have given their all. Now it's up to you. Please do your part. For you, for them, for us.
This message, sponsored by the Helmsley Charitable Trust, aired with the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Growing up on a farm, the youngest of nine kids, Chris had to prove himself. And he did, in the fields and on the court. As a Regina and Simpson College basketball player, he got the nickname Shooter. And it stuck. People still call him Shooter, even now that he's a Coldwell Banker real estate professional. His work ethic, skill, resourcefulness, and 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction in the Iowa City area have made Chris Lehman the perfect realtor to buy or sell your home with. Get in touch at shootershomes.com.
Back with you on the Gym Class at 3:32 on this Thursday here on KGYM. Thank you for joining us. Do appreciate it. NBA basketball coming up later on this evening. As we mentioned, Portland and the Denver Nuggets coming up tonight, 8:30, right here on KGYM. Each Thursday, we talk college basketball with our friend, the coach, Kevin Lehman. It is our Off the Glass segment. It's brought to you by Coldwell Banker and real estate professional, Chris Lehman. With over 20-plus years working in HVAC design and construction, trust Chris if you're in the market to buy or sell in Iowa City and surrounding areas. Find him online at shootershomes.com. Again, that's shootershomes.com. And, Kevin joins us here on this Thursday edition of the show. And Kevin, we were kicking around a little bit. Michael Oss with a column brought this up, and I know you probably were listening a little bit earlier on anyway, but 8 o'clock starts are not going to go away. And it's not only is Iowa's problem. There are other schools certainly that are having a little bit of an attendance dip, if you will, over the last handful of years anyway. 8 o'clock games are tough, man.
I'll tell you what, Scott. I think you got to go back to the formation of the Big Ten Network. And if you look, you'd probably see attendance start to decline there because you got high-def TV. You're sitting on your couch. You walk and grab a beer out of the fridge, grab some chips. It's just too easy to sit in your home and watch these games versus fighting the traffic and those other things that you do to get to the arena. And I think that's across the country. So many more things going on. And then with the Big Ten Network, you're getting that big paycheck whether you fill your arena or not. And I know a lot of administrations have tried to make their arena a better experience, but still, it's a tough battle. I think you're not only seeing it in basketball, I think you're seeing it across some other sports also.
Yeah, and it's, UNI is in there as well. I mean, the Panthers trying to get those students back in the McLeod Center, certainly, and winning takes care of things. We know that all up and down the line. But like I said, it's not only Iowa's problem, certainly.
Yeah, and you and I got off to a slow start. You know, they lost some games in November and December that they weren't expecting to lose. So you know how that goes, too. If you get that early momentum and you're playing really well, it kind of builds toward a better fan base, a better experience. And that goes with Iowa, Northern Iowa. You know, it was kind of a different animal. And I'm not sure how it became that, but it's a different arena than these others that we're talking about in state. I think you'll see the same thing at the Knapp Center. Although Knapp Center is going to do a huge renovation from Drink Box and try to bring all those seats, especially the end zone seats, in closer. They're going to have club rooms where you can watch the game from. So that's what programs, administrations are trying to do now to get those fans back into the arenas.
Iowa, Indiana tonight, 8 o'clock. Fran McCaffrey gave you the scout on Indiana. What do you got for us?
Oh, boy. What's the one that jumps out at you is the rebounding of those two big dudes, Mark, up front. Trace Jackson Davis and Race Thompson. I think the guy who scares me is Race Thompson, because it doesn't matter what you do against Trace Davis, he's going to score on you, get some rebounds. But the other... Race Thompson makes a living because of the double teams on Jackson Davis. But here's what I'd say, Mark. This game has to be up-tempo. See if they can guard our guys. And I look for the Hawkeyes to play small ball with the two Murrays, McCaffrey. We might see Bohannon at the point some tonight, the way it sounds. And, you know, either Perkins or Ulis Toussaint in there. But if I'm Iowa, I have to speed this game up, and that's hard to do against the team right now in Indiana that gives up the fewest amount of points in the Big Ten.
Yeah, Indiana about mid-70s as far as their scoring pace, and if Iowa right now averaging about 85, if the Hawks can get close to that margin, I think they're going to be okay tonight. I'm also with you. I think Race Thompson's, no disrespect to Jackson Davis, but I think Iowa should be more worried about Race Thompson, because if they start doubling down in the post, that's going to leave Race Thompson to do his thing about 10 feet out.
Well, when you have a great post player and he commands a double team and he can pass it, which Jackson Davis can do, you know, I'd love to be his running mate up front. But Race Thompson is just a living off that, because that lane to the offensive board is going to be wide open if they have to double Jackson Davis. And then, you know, we've been talking about rebound. That's obviously the elephant in the room for the Hawks. You got Iowa minus 15.5 rebound margin in the Big Ten, and you've got Indiana up plus 3. So here's the other thing, to Mark's point about your scouting report, you got almost got to send all five of your players to the defensive board. I think the Hawks have to, and that does slow down your fast breaks some. So that's the kind of the yin and the yang that the Hawks have to deal with, because they need to get out and run it up tempo, but they also have to secure the basketball, because it's difficult to run taking the ball out of the net.
Scott has advocated playing Josh Okundele more, and you've got a guy 6'9", 245, and Jackson Davis, and Thompson 6'8", about the same poundage. What say you?
All right, what's Scott? I think, you know, great minds think a lot, right, Scott?
Absolutely.
I think we're going to see a Josh Okundele sighting tonight. And maybe, I don't know, for, you know, limited minutes here and there, but he's got long arms. When I've seen him, there's some talent there. He can block shots. He's got great timing. So I really think against this front line of Indiana that you're going to see him on the court in certain situations. But then again, when you go at the offensive end, Iowa's most effective when they spread it out and there's no true post players. But they got drop lanes. It's a match. So it's game to a game that both teams need to win, because we're tonight, we'll be fourth over. And if Iowa loses, it's going to be tough to get in the upper division, finishing the top half of this Big Ten.
No, I agree with you, Kevin. And yes, so much on the line for Iowa. They're all big games. We know that when you get into conference play. But as far as Iowa, the difference between 2-3 and 1-4 is just huge, especially with a road game coming up, although at Minnesota. But Minnesota about beat Michigan State last night. We'll get to that in a bit. But and Indiana is a quad one win, too. So there's a lot of carrots at the end of the stick tonight.
Well, and I got to think at Minnesota is a quad one game also, the way they've been playing, and you're on the road. But, yeah, you look at that schedule. You're at Minnesota. You're at Rutgers. Come back with Penn State. And then Purdue comes to town. So, you know, it's the old adage. That's one thing I always noticed. You know, as a coach, you didn't really look ahead. But when you get in this business as a broadcaster analyst, you're always looking down that schedule column, who they got next, how many games, who's home, who's on the road. So if you're Iowa, you just think about Indiana right now. You're not even thinking about coming up, going to Minnesota and going to Rutgers. But you got a week's rest, guys. I think it's going to help Iowa. Fresh legs. I think it'll get the Hawks off to a good start because not only fresh legs, fresh bodies, and fresh minds for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Kevin, Penn State is the team that Scott and I were talking about the other day off air that has really been pretty impressive. It did beat Indiana at home, beat Rutgers by 17 in its last outing. Perfect example of you can't look past anybody. This Penn State team's pretty good.
And when you look around the country, it seems like every program, including Iowa State, has a Penn State player playing for them. Because they jumped in the transfer portal when that coaching change happened, and then you kind of wondered, oh, okay, is Penn State going to have anybody? But that's today's world, guys. You know, and I don't know if we're in a big transformation in college athletics because of transfer portal, name, image, likeness. It's going to be free agency. And if you want to transfer twice, you know, they say you can't do it now, but that's one lawsuit away from being able to transfer twice. So it's going to be transferring every year if you like. So they have, and I think that's also, guys, going back to your original point of attendance. Now, Iowa hasn't jumped in that portal like some of those schools have. And, you know, when you watch a Jordan Bohanna play or Luka Garza, you really identify with them over 4 years. You go back to when I was growing up watching that 1970 team with Fred Brown and John Johnson and Vindevec and those guys, you follow them. Now, with players coming and going so fast in some of these programs, I think you'll lose even more fan-based interest.
Yeah. Kevin Lehman joining us at 3:42. It is our off-the-glass segment right here on KGYM. Before we leave the Big Ten, you take a look at the standings. Michigan State got the bucket with 0.1 to go to hold off Minnesota at home last night. But the cream is starting to rise to the top. Always does. You got Michigan State, Illinois, Ohio State, and then maybe a little bit of a surprise with Wisconsin, but man, Davis has led that team, and Greg Gard has done a terrific job at Madison so far this year, but that seems to be, and Purdue is right now two games behind Michigan State and Illinois in the loss column.
Two big surprises in the Big Ten, and they'd both be on the negative side. That would be Purdue at 2-2. And Michigan at 1-2 and 7-6 on the season. Those are teams, you know, those preseason polls. Look at Michigan, Purdue, Illinois as the top three. And that next group we thought was going to be Michigan State, Ohio State. And Greg Gard, they try to fire that guy. He gets more heat for a coach that wins. I mean, they're always, it's back in the Bo Ryan years. They're always in the top half of the Big Ten. And maybe Bo Ryan finished forever in the top four of the Big Ten. Watch out for the Badgers because they're back getting her going again.
Kevin, really tough loss for Iowa State at Kansas a couple nights ago. And a lot of focus on the goaltending non-call. And as I understand it, it's non-reviewable unless tending is called on the court. This got to be changed, doesn't it?
Well, Mark, I was confused about that. I asked other people because I saw – the goaltend, and I asked one on a different radio show about they did change the rule. So, Mark, what was the rule that you understand it? It can only be reviewed at what point?
If goaltending is called on the court. If it's not called, and this is my understanding, if it's not called, then it's not reviewable.
Oh, okay, so there's no whistle, therefore they couldn't review.
Correct.
If they would have whistled it and called a goaltending, then they could have gone to the monitor and make sure they're right. Yeah, that is a bad rule in college basketball because of what we just witnessed, Iowa State at Kansas. That was very unfortunate for that for Iowa State team. So those guys compete in the Cyclones. You go into Kansas, in Allen Fieldhouse, and lose, you know, no moral victories, obviously, but they certainly played well enough to win against the Jayhawks.
Four games into the Big 12, and nobody is undefeated after Baylor went down. Iowa State at 1-3 right now after that loss, and coming home to take on Texas, who's right at the top along with Baylor, and then have to go back for the return trip to Texas Tech, who just knocked off Baylor. So these next two games, really big, especially Saturday at home for Iowa State against Texas.
Their January schedule for Cyclones was brutal. I mean, just brutal. If you look at that, I think we talked last 5 of those 9 games were against teams ranked in the top 25. Here's my concern with the Cyclones. They have to work so hard on defense, and they're somewhat limited on offense. I'm afraid they're going to run out of gas here through this gauntlet in the Big 12. Maybe they're going to hit a wall sometime in late January, February, because they don't have a lot of bodies, and they work so hard the defensive end, and they got to work hard to create offense because they don't have, you know, extra scores. Brockington, Kalshur's kind of been up and down. Tyrese Turner's been excellent. And their, you know, inside play is kind of just so-so. They need Tristan Aruna to step up and play like we saw him in some of his earlier games. He's kind of faded on the Cyclones. But that's my concern for them, that they will fade here at some point because of fatigue.
Well, Northern Iowa, second place in the Missouri Valley Conference at 4-1, right behind Loyola. And Loyola escaped actually the last two games against Bradley and Valparaiso. How do you assess that league right now?
The Loyola was down 16 against Bradley, came back and won. They were down 15 against Valpo and came back and won in 2 overtimes. Valpo shot themselves in the foot of that one. They had a couple of chances to win. I've got Valpo at Missouri. Missouri State at Valpo on Saturday, so I watched that game closely. If you look at this league, here's what's happening to it, Mark. You've got, I think Loyola is still the cream of the crop, although they've struggled since their COVID pause. And then that next group is Northern Iowa, Drake, Missouri State, Southern Illinois. And then the bottom half, one of those two teams have enough talent to break in that top half. Illinois State, possibly, when they get healthy. And, you know, here's the thing about, did you guys watch that game Tuesday with Indiana State? They came in with 7 players.
Yeah. They and one fouled out. They had 6 basically left, and there was actual talk. I mean, listening to Rima, there was actual talk with he and Boyle that they might have 4 out in the court at one point.
Well, they had 5 left in the overtime. They only had 5 left. And here's what I thought, and I didn't say it on air, but I heard all this stuff about Nick Saban talking about rat poison. So Indiana State had that going for them. They had that rat poison because the UNI players knew they only had 7 guys. One of those players, other 7, had played a total of 4 minutes all season. So they came in there with, and their leading scorer, Cooper Neese, wasn't with them. So, and then the other one that crossed my mind was the old rant from our 76ers guy about practice. Who needs practice? Because that Indiana State team did not practice as a team before they walked in and played Northern Iowa to an overtime game.
Allen Iverson, yeah. Think about you and I, Kevin. The back half of this schedule is really difficult, starting in early February when the Panthers have Drake in Southern Illinois, Loyola twice, Missouri State, and on.
Yeah, definitely they backloaded this schedule. Because if you look at that, Loyola and Drake 4 times, January 22nd to the end of the league. But here's what else happened with Northern Iowa. Bowen Bourne is healthy. And they're a different team when he's out there. He had 27 minutes against Missouri State, hit two big free throws down the end. He takes the ball handling pressure off of A.J. Green and lets Green play off the ball more. So that's been a huge for Northern Iowa. And I think they finally settled the Austin Fife issue, which is we're just going to start Noah Carter, and whatever Fife gives us, he gives us. Before that was all this uncertainty in that team about Fife. Because when I had him the game before that against Valpo, Jake told me Fife was going to start, and that got changed during warmups because they didn't like the way he looked. You know, he's got some post-COVID problems with his lungs. So what they're going to get out of him is what they're going to get. But the Panthers, they went to Missouri State, and then they've got here to go to they got to go to Southern, which is always been a hard place for Northern Iowa to win, and then at Valpo, come back with Drake at home next Saturday.
Yeah, speaking of Drake, their game against Indiana State has been postponed. So, it was postponed anyway. And now Drake next in action coming up in Carbondale against Southern Illinois. But I think that for Drake, all those big time games that they had earlier in the year, unfortunately, dropped them all. But it's going to help Drake in the end. I know it's going to help Drake.
They're a little bit different team we saw last year, Scott. They don't play as fast, and part of that's because of, you know, Joseph Yesup, who transferred to Kansas, came off the bench and was probably the fastest dude in the league. And now you got Tucker DeVries, who's a great player, but they play a little slower pace because you went from a lightning quick guard to a 6-7, what we call a point. So they're not playing at the same pace as last year. And Darren has talked about they haven't been able to. They don't quite have the same depth. Roman Penn's healthy again, somewhat healthy. He's got an issue with his foot. They had a big game. They beat Illinois State last night. Illinois State, as I understand, was short-handed in that game. But you're right, Scott, about that schedule. This is the first time we've seen Darren DeVries really upgrade his schedule with those games he had against Clemson, played Alabama, North Texas, a good team, and played Belmont, you know, a future member of this Missouri Valley Conference, and has lost all those games.
Nobody undefeated in college basketball. Who's your number one? Is it Gonzaga, Auburn? Who is it?
Well, I was listening to Gary Parrish saying he's got Auburn number one, but I got to go with Gonzaga. And here's another one. So USC gets beat by a Stanford team that, once again, practice. They never practiced Stanford because they come out of COVID and they beat Southern Cal. So I'm starting to scratch my head, like, how important is this practice? Because we're seeing teams play pretty well without practicing, but I don't know if it eventually will catch up with them or not. But I would say, in my mind, it's Gonzaga at this point.
I agree with you. Auburn, though, I think number two.
But guys, subject to change in a couple days because someone else is going to get beat. It's the way it is this year.
Yeah, a lot of parity. A lot of parity in college basketball. No doubt about that. All right. Hey, safe travels. We hope all the games get in, Kevin. Always appreciate talking with you, and we'll look forward to talking with you again next Thursday.
All right, let's hope the Hawks get a win tonight, because that'll be a big one, guys.
All right, thank you. Kevin Lehman, the coach, joining us for the Off the Glass segment, and it is brought to you by Chris Lehman, your Coldwell banker and real estate professional in the Iowa City and surrounding areas. And find out more about Chris. Go online at shootershomes.com. We'll take a break, come back, and get you a Bowling Night in America happy recap when we return after this on KGYM.
Get organized with help from Menards and Dakota Shelving. Whether you need a spot for extra storage or want to add an accent to your living space, Dakota has the shelf for you. With a wide variety of attractive finishes, your shelves are guaranteed to match your unique style. Keep your home neat and tidy and save big money on Dakota Shelving. Hurry in and check it out right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
And that's when I realized it's called a hamburger, not a handburger, because you carry it with your hand. I was wrong, people. It's like that time I thought I couldn't make the perfect app for football. I was wrong again, people. All I had to do was make a sportsbook app where you can earn season rewards all Sunday long. Nobody's better at bettering things than Caesars.
Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
In the Army National Guard, family means everything.
Our parents, they were really supportive that all five of us would join. I got my education because of the Guard. I got to travel a little bit and experience a whole different culture. It helped me get my job, helped me pay for my house.
Serving part-time in the Army National Guard instills pride that you and your family will share. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Iowa Army National Guard. Aired by the Iowa Broadcasters Association and this station.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym. Back with you at 3:55 here in KGYM. It is Gym Class. Todd and Alex coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Coming up tomorrow in the program, we'll have the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6 for you. And take your texts and phone calls about Iowa and Indiana coming up this evening at Carver Hawkeye Arena at 8 o'clock. We'll also take a look at the NFL wildcard schedule coming up tomorrow, as that will get underway on Saturday, Sunday, and then the Monday night game as well, new this year on Super Wild Card Weekend. We'll have those games for you here on KGYM. Time for Bowling Night in America wrap-up. It is brought to you by May City Bowl on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. I should stay home more often, Mark.
Oh, another excellent night for the Rusty Nails. Got off to a super strong start after two games and ended up defeating Van Horn Motors 21-9, solidifying our third place standing in the Adult Evergreen League. And we were led by Bobby Davidson, the old LaSalle Lancer. 7-41 series and a 290 game. Bobby tying Kirby Gouge for the top game in the league last night. 290, folks, is a spare and 11 straight strikes. Not sure if it's a career high for Bobby, but it's got to be close.
We'll find out next week. I'll ask. Or I can ask. I could ask right now, but he's working. Don't call him an old LaSalle Lancer. I mean, Bobby was a heck of an athlete in the day, man. Still is.
Yes, he was. We got a couple of them. Well, Corey Starry on the shelf right now, the last wrestling champion at LaSalle, on the squad as well. I don't want to discount the other athletes on the team, but a couple of good, solid LaSalle Lancers from back in the day. Mentioned Bobby Davidson and Kirby Gouge with the high game, 290. Bobby's 741 was third in the league. A lot of good scores last night. Travis Gehringer, high series, 764. Joel Donner right behind at 750. And we'll go at it again next week.
Against our friends from Barry's Lanes next week, next Wednesday. So thanks to Tom and everybody at, of course, May City Bowl, the home of Bowling Night in America. Phone number, Mark?
362-0136. Go ahead and visit the website as well. MayCityBowlCR.com.
All righty. Iowa, Indiana coming up tonight at 8 o'clock. And, boy, going to be a tough one. Going to be a tough one. We'll see. More high-scoring game will favor Iowa, I believe. Lower-scoring game, I don't think it's going to be a low-scoring game, period. But high 60s, low 70s, mid-70s, I think Indiana. We shall see. I originally picked Indiana last week, Mark, so I don't know if I'm sticking with that or not, but what do you like?
I like Iowa. I think it's going to rebound in more ways than one. Rebounding and defense, the big key in this game for the Iowa Hawkeyes, although it's going to be a difficult one.
Yeah. It was Bobby's high game, by the way.
A Okay, high game, 290. Good job.
We have confirmation. All right, thank you. More on Iowa, Indiana, and other things in sports with Todd and Alex coming up next. We will talk with you tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and hopefully not a whole ton of snow coming in. Have a good night, Mark.
You as well. Talk to you tomorrow.
You can't always see bad weather coming, so it's essential that you're able to see through it when you drive.